Welcome, everybody, to another sensational episode of the Reels Mentors podcast. We are ready to talk TV, movies, and, of course, have some fun along the way. On today's show, who am I kidding? G-O-T and a whole lots of it. A couple of things sprinkled here and there. Of course, as always, I've got my two co-hosts with me to help me talk about the G-O-T and break it down like nobody else can. Of course, starting from a man to my left here, straight from Houston, Mr. Chewy, who I understand had some emotional moments last night and shed a few tears, actually.
There's tears of joy. Ghost is alive and well.
It's been widely documented of Chewy's sensitivity certain aspects of the show, which we'll get into later. Our respect has gone even lower for Chewy. And it was
those rumors are greatly exaggerated, or I don't know where Mike gets inspiration from.
I say it was Mike.
Much like, it's prognostications. Wrong.
It's out there. That's all I'm saying. It's out there. Of course, we also had joining us technical producer, the head of the GirlsLife.com studios himself, the man beast, of course, the CFO of Haters Corner. And although it's known to be said that a hater has no name, this one does. Mr. Mike Rose. What up, big guy?
I just want to thank my mom for the Giants milk.
That would explain it. And that's gold, Jerry. Gold, Jerry.
It's gold, Jerry. Gold.
But before we get into Game of Thrones, we go towards the second part of the show. We're gonna get spoilerific. So if you haven't seen episode 2, again, what's wrong
what
with
planet
you?
Planet on you on.
Whatever. It is what it is. But before we get to that, obviously we are days away. I'm very excited from the ending of this fantastic month. You know, where geeks have yet to see sunlight until another 2 weeks from now. We got Avengers Endgame popping on Thursday, 4 days from when we're recording this video. Tonight is actually the world premiere out in LA, so we'll probably get some social media reactions around 2 a.m. Standard Eastern Time, more or less, or basically when we get up in the morning. So hopefully what we hear is spectacular. I want stellar reactions. Yeah, not just, it was good. I want, like, oh my God, it's the best thing I've ever seen, or what, even if it's hyperbole, at least I can accept it, you know? So I'm very excited, and I was thinking about this. I mean, this is probably one of the biggest movie events we had in a while, right? Well, not in a while, just ever, right?
Pretty big.
Since last year, yeah.
But wait. I mean, yeah, but this is bigger than last year. By far,
it can be bigger than last year.
I agree. I think that the hype.
And even last year, there was a lot of hype.
No, last year was ridiculous, but this year is even more so.
Like,
part two. It's natural.
It's off the scales.
Exactly. So I'll bring to you guys. I mean, and I don't think, for me, this isn't the most excited I've ever been, but it's just one of the most excited I've ever been for any particular movie. What has been the most excited you've been, or a couple that you can recall, that will trump the excitement for this movie, if any? I got a couple in my head right now off the bat.
I know one, and even though the results were not as expected, I think I was really geeked out once we found out about Phantom Menace. But you know, the results were not.
I'm just talking about the hype.
With the hype.
We're just talking about. You're right. I mean, just hype. We're not talking about the quality of the film.
It was like we had the reboot or the reissue of the original, like back in the late 90s, and then whenever it was, and then announcement that Lucas was going to go back to the original, you know, Star Wars number 1, 2, and 3, and so the hype was just off the scale at that time for it.
Oh, no, it was ridiculous. I think we saw that first trailer. We probably shit in our pants, let's be honest. Before trailers were online, for the most part, you know, we still had to go to theater, and they dropped it online. I was like, oh my God, it was like the greatest thing we've ever seen. That one for sure stands out. Force Awakens was another one, I thought.
Yes.
I was probably right there. Just because it had been so long since the trilogy, well, not that long, but it had been a while since the trilogy and the second prequels ended. And, you know, we all had hope that this was going to be good, right? That was hyped. I mean, anything, Mike, anything else besides
two
those?
that come to my mind, one that lived up to the hype and the other one didn't live up to the hype. So the first one was the original Avengers. I was really hyped about that movie, hugely hyped about that movie.
Okay.
And the second one is the Matrix Reloaded, which was
That's the other one.
Sack of shit.
Yes.
I was so jacked, and the guy went there with a good friend of mine from the Air Force. We went in there, and he was just like, he's so happy. He was just like, and then when we left, he was like, that was great, that was great. And I'm saying to myself, the whole, like, last quarter of the movie, I'm going like, this is, Is there something wrong with me? I think this sucks. I'm just saying that to myself.
That was the genesis of the Haters Corner.
In all honesty, there is something wrong with him anyway.
Well, that is fair.
Well, that is true.
No one's arguing that.
But then I said to him, I said, look, dude, I really didn't like. He's like, what the hell are you talking? That was great. You know, and he lost his mind, but he's a good dude. He saw the error of his ways eventually, but. That was
hyped up. That one for me, it was.
It's like the Emperor's new clothes, you know.
No, I'll stand behind Reload. I didn't dislike. I thought it was fine. I had issues, no doubt about it. But still, either way. But again, just hype wise for me is that one and Phantom Menace, and I'll probably put this fourth. I'll put a bit behind both Star Wars, maybe third. I'll put it ahead of Matrix Reloaded. As far as Endgame, I'm obviously ahead of Infinity Wars.
This is something weird, right? I been hearing everywhere that it's like sold out everywhere. Well, I looked at my local theater and I bought tickets last week for showing, no problem.
It depends. I think like the major. I mean, if you go like in the mornings or you know, you can find tickets here and there. I mean, there's always a couple of seats open somewhere.
The falls, bro.
And there's so many theaters. It's every theater. I mean, let's be honest. It's gonna be 24 hours. Am I wrong? That I think it's like 24 hours. I don't even know. So you know. There's still tickets there. So what? Obviously, we're going to take a huge deep dive next weekend because it is the weekend of all weekends, episode three of Game of Thrones, which we'll get into later.
Super duper podcast episode.
It's going to be like a 2-hour show because there's going to be so much to talk about.
Right.
And hopefully Endgame lives up to expectations and we'll break that down next week. That being said, there's a couple of things. Let's get a couple of topics. It's as always, before we head into the Game of Thrones, we got to take a little detour through the trailer park.
Right.
And we got a couple of big – well, one big one and a couple other ones which I found kind of interesting. The first one, of course, and this is one that Mike is – you know, might be there with Phantom Menace for him. And that's Hobbs and Shaw. You know, the introduction of Black Superman.
That looks like a friggin' – that looks like a fun movie, man.
Oh, wait. Mike is changing his tune there.
No. I'm not a Fast and Furious guy, but I've now seen
on
like
board, ladies and gentlemen.
No, I've seen two different trailers and they both looked like a lot of fun. So I think I might watch it.
He's I'm on the Hobbs and Shaw train.
There we go. All aboard. And you have to. It's. I mean, don't get me wrong. The trailer, they show way too much, number one. Right. But whatever. I mean, they gave away a lot. I'm like, okay, whatever. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, it looks ridiculous and stupid, but whatever. Who cares, right? The Rock and Jason Statham, fantastic. You know, I just elbowed Black Superman. I thought that was hilarious. It's almost like a superhero movie, and this is what it looks like to me. It's my book. This could have had DC and Marvel before, and I've been okay. I get it. Chewie, I know you're on board.
Oh, hell yeah, I'm the one that posted it, man. I was on board when I saw the first trailer. I was like, oh yes, I'm in, dude. Take my money.
It looks fun. It looks like stupid, the quintessential summer blockbuster, popcorn, stuff your face, turn your brain off kind of one.
Yeah,
exactly,
man.
What it is. And expect nothing more than that.
They're not trying to solve relativity, dude. They just want to entertain you for a couple hours. Lots of boom, lots of wows, lots of comedy.
And
dude, it's The Rock.
It looks funny.
It's The Rock, dude.
Yeah, I mean, them together.
I see a lot of chemistry between them. That's what I was saying. That it looks like they're having fun working together.
Oh, yeah. They're having a blast. You can tell. They're having a blast. Which is great. I think that's going to be a big surprise this summer as far as entertainment value. We know it's going to be a bad movie. I get that. That's not the point. But yeah, I'm looking forward to big time that one. The second one, and I don't know if you guys saw this. I know you guys, this ain't your bag, if you will, but the Child's Play trailer. Anybody catch that?
I saw it.
What do you think, Mike?
I'm not interested in it, but...
I know, right? Neither am I, dude. And I like horror shit.
I just, like... It just...
It seems more like Terminator... Than the Chucky.
Right.
Yeah. Right? I mean, if I don't see a Terminator, I mean, well, I don't want to see a Terminator, but we're going to get one anyway. I don't need two in 1 year. You know,
I have
need a
an
baby
idea
version and then, you know,
how
real
they can really make
months.
Money with that franchise. Have John Gruden play Chucky.
That would be kind of funny. If he cameoed, then I'd be all over it.
Future Chucky.
Or it should be Hobbs, Shaw, and Chucky. Now that's
there
what
you
I'm
go.
Talking
see.
About.
Stop.
Jerry's cold.
Stop it.
He's an idea man today.
Tammy. Oh, man. Just saying then. Just throw Chucky in there. Everybody wins. Then. Everybody wins. The last one, this one I liked a lot. The Amazon Prime TV show, The Boys.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Dude. Yeah.
Huge surprise. I was like, whoa, okay. I wasn't sure what to expect. And I'm like, damn, this shit is crazy.
This crazy. Good, dude.
No, I think good. This is going to be on the Umbrella Academy level of being just a really fun TV show.
Yeah, and it has as far as the graphic nature, it reminds you a little bit of Doom Patrol. Doom Patrol in some sense. Yes. Because it's violent. It's there. It was a rated R trailer, right? Or Red Band, whatever.
Yeah, not safe for work, yeah.
Right, not safe for
work. Red Band trailer, sorry. Red Band. Yeah.
Right. It is gruesome in a great way. Over the top. I loved it, dude. Loved what I saw there.
And once I saw that, then I heard that, you know, looking for us Comic-Con attendees of 50th, they will have something special for the boys there for Amazon. Maybe an activation, definitely a booth, because the show drops after Comic-Con. So I'm sure they're going to be hyping it big time.
No, I'm curious to hopefully get to see that panel because I want to see some footage and we'll see what they say. No, it looks great. It looks great. Like, I mean, this is the trailer. We know, whatever. It could be fooled. It could be the worst thing we've ever seen.
I don't believe that.
But Amazon's pretty consistent with the product, you know, in terms of not quantity, but quality.
Yeah.
And this looks good. It looks really good. If you haven't seen the trailer, that's one I recommend. It's crazy superhero in the vein of, you know, again, yeah, you're right, Mike, like Umbrella Academy meets Doom Patrol, I guess would be the best way to describe it for now. But yeah, hype for that. And July, when is that, Chewy? July
26th on Prime.
Nice.
Okay, that one seems like it's a must watch. That we'll be talking about that on this show, that's for damn sure. Staying with TV. Before we get to the big stuff on TV, no, some shows have started, have dropped, and all that. I haven't seen a whole lot. I'll let you guys kind of take over. But I just started watching Killing Eve, which is one we were talking about before the month started.
Good,
which had season a really two. Good season. Yeah, critically acclaimed. Had a big first season. I enjoyed it. The second half more than the first half. You guys saw I've only seen the first two. I missed yesterday's. But what do you guys think so far? No, Mike, we'll start with you
because I'm feeling you're gonna hate. No, it's okay. It's not bad. I just like season one a lot more, I think, so far.
And you said you like season two a little better. Than season two so far. I mean, again, from what I've seen, it seems like I love the humor on the show. It's a good balance between it gets serious tone and turns that humor on so quick and it's not overdone. It doesn't distract from the seriousness of the show because it's a dark show. It can be, obviously.
Yes.
I mean, it is a dark show. I mean, the one scene where she kills the guy in the hospital, that was hilarious, but kind of messed up at the same
God.
Time. Yeah. I mean, I was like, okay, and it works great.
Damn.
Yeah, all right, sure.
No shame.
I don't want to leave anymore. Okay, good night. So, I mean, it was really cool. I'm liking both characters. I'm digging it. I didn't see yet this episode, so I don't know, whatever. Chewy, I assume you are also loving the show. Well, not loving it, but liking the show a lot.
Oh, yeah, I'm loving the show. I think it's better in season one, to be perfectly honest, because we're diving more into the Villeneuve relationship with, I can't remember the character's name, Sandra Oh's character.
Right.
And the introduction, well, you haven't seen yesterday's episode, so I don't want to spoil it for you. But
please don't.
But obviously, I haven't either. Yeah. They all die. But
you son of a bitch.
Yeah, well, yeah, but they mentioned in the first episode that the ghost assassin, now that's coming to play.
Right.
And so now they call it a ghost, but whatever. You know, they don't know who she works for or what the organization is. But obviously now there's another,
what they mean by ghost party is she's
coming
not
into the mix.
On anybody's radar.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, that's nothing that's one that people need to get on board if they haven't already.
Yeah.
Yes,
absolutely.
Good show. BBC, right? Am I wrong there?
BBC America, but it's on AMC, yes.
Right, AMC, and shows it, whatever. I mean, I always catch it on demand, so whatever. But it's really good. It's really good. It's dark humor. It works really well. For me, again, once you get past the 3 or 4 episodes, it really picked up for me anyway. The other one, I don't think I've seen, I'll let you guys jump in, what you've seen yet, is Black Summer.
It's on my list. I haven't started yet.
Yeah, I went through it pretty quickly. It's only like 30 minutes a show, maybe 40.
Oh,
a couple.
Okay, good.
Yeah, okay. Some are like 40, some are 30, the last couple like 20-something only. And it's basically, you know, it's your... At its most
Walking
basic,
Dead.
It's a basic Walking Dead, you know, zombies, you know, more of a 28 Days Later vibe because the zombies go fast as opposed to slow walking, so which is a better element to the zombie thing. It doesn't bring nothing new to the table. We've seen this all before, but it's more character development. What is that? The show doesn't know what that is. There's no restorer to it. However, it's really entertaining. because it's super intense. Every episode is really intense, and it focuses on these characters who get separated, trying to find a way back to each other, and in the situations they find themselves in. Because it's not about the zombies, to be honest with you. It's more about the humanity, what everyone's kind of pretty much dog-eat-dog world out there, and it focuses more on that. And everybody just trying to survive as opposed to really fighting zombies per se, which is better, I think, personally. But it's full action, short episodes, really good. I recommend it. And I guess it's not going to reinvent the wheel when it comes to zombies. But it's good, man. You guys should watch it. Mike, I think you'll like it.
Okay.
I think you'll enjoy that.
Yeah, it's on my list. I just kind of got around to finishing up some other shows.
Like I said, it's a very visceral show. No, expect nothing but that. You're not going to get we don't know anybody's backstory. No, they don't even bother with that nonsense. I mean, and I heard it's supposed to be some kind of prequel to something on sci-fi, I guess. I don't know, whatever. Z Nation, which I've never seen.
Yeah, Z Nation. That's what it's
I heard Z Nation is more of a comedy. It's a completely different tone than this.
Yeah.
That's what.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, this is more dark. It's obviously, it's rated R, obviously. You know, it's intense, big time. Yeah.
Cool.
No, Mike, you started. Well, I haven't seen Bosch yet. You guys started watching Bosch when we talked
about Yes.
I already went through it. I think. How many episodes in are you, Chewy?
I'm 3 episodes in.
Okay. It's a good show. It's not as good as last season. I mean, last season was amazing, but and it's hard to top that. But it's a good show.
No, that show's been consistent for a while.
Like, yes. I love.
5 seasons?
Yeah, 5 seasons. I think it's the longest running show on Amazon, if I'm not mistaken. Yes.
It's always consistent. It doesn't always hit. Like, you know, it's not going to top each other every season, but it's a good show. I mean, I haven't seen this season yet, but I assume it's
Oh, last season was really, really, really good. I mean, and it's just hard to top that. I mean, you know. But it was a good season. My only beef, I think, is just I know a little bit about computer security, so there's some nonsense interlaced in there.
That's okay.
But, you know, whatever. They can't get everything right.
Well, speak for yourself, big guy.
Titus Welliver. Titus Welliver is awesome, though. He's great.
I know Chewy's scratching himself over there. He's got a chicken pox, so he's ready to talk about American Gods. I know he's
No, well, I assume you haven't nothing to talk about OA because you haven't watched it yet.
So I haven't started OA yet. Yeah, I haven't begun anything.
That's
fine. So, yeah.
No, that's fine. That's fine. When you see it, then we can talk about it. You can see Chewy's right again. I like hearing that. All right. Now, as far as American Gods, obviously, I said I was pod committed, so I would take it for the team to a certain degree and finish out the season. So I think the last 2 episodes really turned things around for me as far as entertainment and wishing what the show was could be from the very beginning if they follow the format with these 2 last episodes. However,
no,
I mean,
no but there. Okay.
No, well, no. Well, I mean, obviously, that season finale is next week.
There's always a but.
Already?
It's only 8 episodes. Yeah, it's quick, dude. Yeah. So. Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it's really short. So. Okay. So the fact that they wasted, 5 episodes, to get to how it should be developing and how they be discussing and developing the characters and the stories, and making it light and making it entertaining. You know, it's a shame, but at least it's gonna maybe end on a high note, and we'll check back next week after the season finale.
I sense OA in that show. I really do.
You sense OA?
Just wait. They start breaking out into a dance. Don't say it anymore, you dude.
Yeah, dude. No, no dance.
Now, what will not be OA?
Yes. It's
very clear. Is of course this season's Game of Thrones.
Yes.
That being said, gentlemen, let's do this. Of course, episode 2 dropping last night. And before we do anything else, dun, 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 dun. All right, anyway. I do want to say off the top that Lady Mormont is the greatest character in the show's history.
Yes.
Oh my God, dude. Well, I don't know about the greatest character in history, but she is amazing, dude.
Hyperbole, but you know what I mean. She's great. Well, because there's not much to talk about her, and there never is. But the 2 seconds she's on is always fantastic. I mean,
Time is gold. Dude. I mean,
she doesn't
say anything. Just her expressions, dude.
That's what I'm saying. She's like the 6th man. The microwave. He comes in a quick basket and come off the bench. That's what she is. You bring her in, boom, 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 and put her back on the bench. Perfect. You know what I'm saying? She's great. And of course, Ghost.
He's alive. He's alive.
We got exciting.
He didn't really do anything.
Stand I was worried there. Like a it was gonna be a Bigfoot situation, but we got
him. Now you notice No dragons this episode. We have ghosts. Next week, dragons, no ghosts. I don't know. They can't share the same screen time.
Although, I do think Ghost is going to be, I think Ghost is going to die. But that's neither here nor there.
Here nor there, yes.
So let's get into it. So let's start with general thought. Nothing specific, just as far as what you thought about the episode. Chewy, what your initial thoughts were compared to the first one.
I think I enjoyed it more because it's a slow buildup to what we all knew was coming on episode 3. But it wasn't dragged out. I found it interesting. I like the interactions, the characters bringing people together because this is it. Because next week we know, you know, maybe half, maybe all, they're not coming to episode 4.
They're going down.
Oh no, we're gonna do a little who's down in the chopping block, and we'll get to that as we go.
But I loved the episode, and just it was a slow build up because it's one day away. It's one day away. So this is one day in the life. And Winterfell.
Mike?
I thought it was good, too. Like I said, however, I felt like the first and second episode could have been one episode, a two-hour episode, or hour and a half.
I partly agree with that. I think it could have been half the episode could have been the first one. I agree with you there. I like the episode. I thought it was better than the second episode.
It was great. I loved it. I just felt like
it was really good. But I think I didn't mind that it was slow. I mind the first one was slow only because we knew this was going to be the calm before the storm.
Right.
We knew
but
that.
But that's what I thought.
You can't have something big happen right before you have the big battle scene, which is why I thought the first one should have come out guns blazing, let it simmer through in the second episode, and then come guns blazing in the third episode. But whatever. Right. Be that as it may, it is what it is. But that being said, I mean, there's a lot of highs in this episode, a couple of lows, but overall, that was really, you're right, Chewie, that had great interactions. And this was the foreshadowing.
Oh my God.
Because we're laying out who's on the chopping block, and we'll get to that momentarily because it's going to be a lot, and it's going to come fast and furious next week. But it's not for the beginning.
Bring out those tissues. Get ready.
Chewie will be crying next week. If he wasn't already. he'll be crying when Iron Man dies in Endgame. Hello, spoiler alert. But that's not spoiler. I'm not sure that's true. But let's start with the beginning. And this is a little problem I had with the beginning because it seemed a little bit abrupt. There was no setup. They just started right away with Jaime.
You're talking about the trial of Jaime Lannister.
Yeah, Jaime and Sansa and Jon. And
yeah.
I would like to see some kind of setup to that, like build it up a little bit, you know, a couple interactions, him walking through there and wondering what's going on. I would like to have seen something that it was so fast. Like an extra 2 minutes setting that up would have worked better. Because it just didn't get time to breathe. It's like the credits end and boom, she's already talking shit about Jaime. My father killed the father.
Well,
like,
I think you jumped ahead a little bit. I mean, the credits, I liked how, the attention to detail, the credits were different from episode one.
I didn't see the credits. Yeah, because I was
you didn't see the credits?
I was traveling, so I was running late. I was watching it one in the morning. I have to fast forward something. I got to make some cuts.
Well, last week they started at the wall. And then you see the flipping tiles to show the Night King coming to Last Hearth. This week, basically, it's blue tiles all the way up to coming up to the embankments of Winterfell, kind of overlooking Winterfell. And then the Winterfell shot basically now has all the – it's showing the camps. It's showing the defenses. It's showing – so a lot more development that they added to it, kind of showing progression of episode one. Here's episode two from a 10,000-foot level.
I'm off to cash it on the replay tonight or tomorrow night.
There you go, man.
But either way, James, I guess it was a little bit abrupt as far as the beginning of it, but that was a cool scene though. We had we showing Brienne coming to the rescue, which I thought was cool. And what do you guys think about that particular scene? How that played out?
I thought it was great. I thought it was fine. Sansa kind of changing a little bit, kind of getting a little more mature.
Wise, I think. Yeah, you're probably right.
Wiser.
She trusts Brienne. She said it. She trusts her with her life. And I think, and it's cool because there's two characters in the show that I thought really have made a 180 since the beginning of the show, right? And in a positive way, because Reek doesn't count. And that's Jaime, who we hated, right? And he did a lot of shitty crap, and he kind of redeems himself, and now he's a man of honor, so to speak, to some degree. And we have Sansa, who was worthless, and now she's who she is, right? In position to could potentially take power of the throne. Maybe, right. Who knows?
I would argue that Jaime was always a man of honor. And
Things we do for love.
Calm down. Is this the same guy who pushed the kid out the window?
I mean, well, no. But I'm saying I'm saying pre that. I mean, when he was a Kingsguard, starting with the Kingslayer moniker, right? The reason he did that, was that not honorable? Was that not worthy of having praise? Then obviously going towards the okay, now I'm all family, and now I'm coming back to.
In terms of the show, because we didn't get Kingslayer that play out on the show.
No, we heard, we knew, we saw, heard, we read. We
knew, yes. The reputation was there. He came off. He was very smug and arrogant, and obviously he tried to take out Ned Stark.
That reputation, but the reputation was not what actually happened.
It might have been who he is, but he finally became that as the show unraveled, right? Especially when he was with Brienne and that journey and whatever the case.
Oh, yeah, that journey.
We got to see the real journey. We got to see the guy who he became, as opposed to how we first knew him when the show started, right? Fair enough. So that was really cool. And sticking with that, they had, and I'm going to skip ahead just a little bit, and because we got the first chopping block. And that's because there was a great scene. I thought this scene was great. I love this scene when Brienne gets knighted by Jaime.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Great scene, and Tormund. Yes, was there. We'll get into that.
You found he's the fantastic. Origin. I mean,
Tormund is always great. He's fantastic, and he was a comic relief, and I think played out really well. It was a nice,
Where's
great
the
scene.
Big
and,
girl?
Yeah, I mean, I'll knight her 10 times. You know, whatever. If he was the king, it was great stuff.
That's my giant's bane.
But you know, it's cool that everybody was behind her and wanted her to get knighted. I thought that played out really well, and then it was interesting that Jaime was the one to do it. Really good scene. And she was very emotional. Then I think I'm wrong to say, have you heard it before where Brienne loves Jaime? You think that's really the case? Or just the kind of respect kind of thing? In terms of love, like in romantic love. She's just not.
I think she has some romantic love for him, to be honest. If you remember the scene they did together out at the, where Jaime was like, I want to serve under you, you know, that kind of thing.
Right,
and
right.
Then she said, oh, You didn't insult me, which is the first time you've never done that. And then he's like,
surprised by it. Yeah. He's like, "I'm going to do it now." I don't think it's mutual. I think he respects her and likes her a lot. Obviously, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I don't think he has love for her. He's still in love with Cersei.
Yeah, but that being said, chopping block time, because we had and this happened a lot in this episode. And we've seen this 1,000 times in TV's movies. You have the happy scene.
It's called the MacGuffin, my friend.
They have their moments. And we know what's coming next. Right. You know, the downfall.
Actually,
so
there's at least 3 that I saw.
Oh, there's,
that was
there's
one
a bunch. And we'll get to each one as we go down the chopping block. So the first one up, next week's episode. Brienne dies.
Yeah.
Gay or nay?
Yes.
Nay.
What?
Really?
So, I say nay.
You think Jaime dies?
No, Jaime's not dying tomorrow. Or next
one
week.
One of those two is going down. And I don't think it's Jaime.
Yeah. I just think it doesn't make sense, right? Because.
Thank you. Exactly.
Because Brienne had a woman, she gets to kill both of them.
She gets knighted. That's the highlight. And after the highlight comes the low light. It's how it is. That's how TV does it. That's for writing 101. You built up this thing. So you have the emotional punch. If she does end up dying, it makes more of an impact.
I say I'm putting my money on Jamie's gone after tomorrow. Or next week, sorry.
Okay, let me know. Let
no, Brienne alive, Jaime dead.
Let me write this down. So, you know, he's going to go
down,
Jaime.
Write it down.
You
know,
we're going, Mike and me, we're going to go Brienne. But at that moment, just for me, personally, I felt like, oh, Brienne.
That was a MacGuffin big time.
It's a wrap. She is a goner on the chopping block. So that's interesting. Well, I'm curious how that's going to play out. And the second, now we get, but after the scene with the, you know, what Jaime gets, you know, scorned by, you know, Daenerys and et cetera, et cetera. Daenerys has a little tiff with Tyrion. Pretty much calls him out for his foolishness for believing Cersei to begin with, and pretty much threatens his position and all that, and, you know, and then he has a conversation with I think Jorah, right, Captain Friendzone, and about how he feels that him or I think Zaharis that was there, am I wrong?
Right.
Yeah, Lord Varys.
Yeah, Lord Varys. One of them will be wearing the hand at some point, I guess, foreshadowing. Maybe I don't know. I don't think Tyrion dies next week. It was an interesting scene because, yeah, he's right. He has been kind of just being fumbled. He's been fumbling the ball, let's be honest. Does he get – I think he gets redemption for this.
Yes.
Do you think it happens this next episode? Like he does something to kind of sway, change the tide of the war?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
100% yes.
We can – with everybody hinting and foreshadowing, there's a surprise next week. It's not just everything on the field. There's something that they're gonna catch him off guard, and he's have to come in and
pseudo kind of guessing, or are you basing on something you saw on the show?
I'm basing on something I'm seeing on the show and some of the trailers. Well, I mean, so you know, like we've all seen the trailer where we see Arya running for her life, right?
Right, in the crypt.
And obviously in the preview they showed a lot of scenes, a lot of stuff inside the castle, right? Within Winterfell. So yeah. Obviously, you know, and I don't think it's a situation where they broke through the lines and scaled the walls and it's a mass free for all inside. I think they found another way in, right? And he has to, underneath. through somewhere, and then being that he's down there already, right? Because they told him, he's been told, you're in the crypts to save your butt. You know, we need your mind, not your body. I think that's what's leading towards.
Right. That's another plot device, yes, or
a redemption for him.
Right.
That's good insight. I like that. That's a good insight. I was thinking something more along down the road, but you know what? You make a very good point, and it makes sense. You're right about that. Because we know
another part of that.
It's now. Yeah,
they're going to overrun the castle, whatever, Winterfell at some point, but whether it be in the crypts or they just overrun it, we'll see.
I don't foresee an overrunning, but I see that they're in there some way, somehow. They got in. Right.
Okay, so that's the point. I'm curious to see if that turns out. You do make sense, and that's very good.
Can I just say one thing?
I didn't think about that.
And we've seen that before. We saw that with Daenerys with Grey Worm and Dario Naharis and Captain Friendzone at the place where they invaded, Marine or one of them, where they go through the slaves right underneath, they armed them, they build it from the inside, they open the doors.
Oh, yeah. Or even Blackwater, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, episode season two, whatever it was, episode 9.
He knew what the weak point was.
Which makes sense. You might be right. That I didn't think about that. So I'm kind of curious to see if it actually comes to play or not. We have this. This is another great scene that I liked, and it's foreshadowing for not because of there's not a chopping block situation, but as far as what might happen down the road, and that's a good conversation between Daenerys and Sansa, who finally sit down, and Sansa's telling about the manipulation of women, and he's like, well, he manipulated her in a sense. Because it's true, she's the one that, you know, decided
to put everything on hold.
She's going for the throne. She's like, okay, fine, I'll follow you and let's take out the White Walkers and whatever. Although it behooves her to do the same thing, because what's the point of being the throne if the Night Walkers are coming down regardless? Great scene, because they have that one moment at the end where she's like, what about the North? All of a sudden, it was nice and chummy, and she pulls her hand away.
Then Theon came in and screwed up that moment. So
exactly. Oh, yeah, I know. Stupid Theon, the typical. But it was a good scene, though, because I think it really – okay, now they saw the kind of Sansa, you know, is laying out the cards on the table, saying, what about if you take the crown, what happens to me, right? Because
what happens to the North more than anything else?
Yeah, what happens to her, dude, at the end of this? I think she wants to
I first saw that scene, I thought she was going to make her Hand of the Queen, like, after, you know, right there, make her an offer for Hand of the Queen or something.
This is the way she was
talking about. Well, no, I mean, I looked at it. She was saying, like, you know, all the, you know, you're women of power, blah, 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 blah. Men have distrusted us. You know,
she was buttering her up, and
she was already angry at Tyrion. We're like, okay, well, he was a nice replacement, someone who has the respect of the North. You know, bring him into the fold.
I think she was trying to manipulate her. You know, which goes back to the beginning of the conversation. You know, I think Sansa knows that. She's been through the game. She knows exactly what's going on. She sniffs it out, right? And she does, which I think makes her one of our favorite characters now, as opposed to when she first started. But that was really cool. And we'll circle back on that now, because obviously there's big news in relation to Daenerys and Jon Snow and her soon. But Rick does come in. So Chewie was, you know, shedding tears as well. A nice moment between him and Sansa. Sansa was crying and whatever. He got his nice moment, had another moment where they're, you know, gazing into each other's eyes out of respect or whatever. I don't think there's a love thing going on there at all.
Nope.
That being said, chopping block for Reek. He's a goner, isn't he, guys?
Yeah.
It's a wrap.
Here's the thing, and this is what I was going to bring up.
It's a wrap.
Anytime another MacGuffin, anytime in a show that they make plans, anytime they make plans for anything, it never comes through.
Never. And Reek, it makes sense, because I'm looking at, okay, Reek, I mean, this is his redemption, right? He you know, he was the one obviously that took over Winterfell. No,
he's already had his redemption. I mean,
but only with Sansa, not with Winterfell, not with the North, not with the whole Stark family.
Not with Bran.
Exactly. This is his time to come back in. And now, oh, I'm going to defend Bran. Sansa's on his side. She's crying. Blah blah blah. Good night, Reek. It's a wrap. He's done, dude. Come on, Chewie. There's no way he makes
100%.
Out
of
yeah,
he's out.
Yeah, he's
done. Exactly.
I told you, it's the MacGuffin.
I don't want to say it, but I'll say it.
He's a god. He's the rat. Dude. It's so obvious.
I'd be shocked if he's not. So
I'll be surprised if he doesn't. I'm pleasantly surprised because I do kind of like him, but I don't see him come out. I really don't. You're right, Mike. You're right. The plan's never. They have this plan with Bran, and he'll be the, you know, the bait for the Night King. You know, that's not going to work out.
Never.
At all.
In fact, if you think about it, at the end of the show, and maybe you want to talk about this later, I don't know, but where was the dragon and the Night King?
What did I say last week, guys? What did I say? If they didn't show the Night King at all, I got a feeling he may be going down south.
Right.
I'll amend slightly. If they do show him, he'll be there for a short time and then takes off down south. Doesn't finish the battle. I got a feeling, though. I just don't know. And we'll jump into that later. But we'll get into that as far as what we think as far as the Night King. But we're going to hold that thought in terms of that. Next chopping block. And this is the most obvious one, I think. Good old Grey Worm making his plans.
Oh, wait. What was the name of the ship that he wanted to use? I think it was
the name?
Live Forever or something like that. I was like,
I'm going to go some beach somewhere.
Go crabbing.
Drink pina coladas. You know, we got the Cabana boys bringing them.
Dude, another MacGuffin.
I'm sorry. Who were we talking about? I missed it. Sorry.
Grey Worm.
Oh, for sure, dude. That's
dude. Done. Yeah. He's done. He's more of a sure thing than Reek is. He's more of a sure thing than Reek.
That's for sure. That I agree.
You know how it is. Every time you have the like, I love you. We're going to get out. Oh, yeah. We're going to go here and there. Yeah. Next. It's always like the war.
Now in the battlefield, bleeding out.
Exactly.
She finds him
dead. Yeah. He dies in her arms. And you go to the beach without me, I'll always be with you. Yada, yada, yada. Kind of seeing two will be crying down the road. Is it the classic thing, like in the war movies, where all the guys are talking like, right. Oh, man, when I get home, I'm going to see my mom and hug my wife and kid and the death. It's a wrap. It's a sure sign that you're going down. That wasn't more clear.
Another
than that scene
awful with trope.
Yeah, it's so obvious. Oh, my God. Right. He's done. The next one, I think, is a wrap. Well, chopping block. Okay, here we go. Sir Davos has a nice scene with the girl, right? The little girl.
But you know what I think?
Wants to fight.
Do you want to hear this?
Please.
Okay, so she looks a little bit like Shireen, right?
Thank you. Yes. Okay.
What if that little girl is the red sorceress? In disguise.
Oh,
you know, she...
Stop
well,
it.
No, no, dude.
Stop
wow.
it.
Why would she look like Shireen, though?
Reaching. And this part of the show is brought to you by Left Field Productions.
Okay. Wow. All right. This ain't coming out of left field, dude. I'm not the only one talking about this.
I'm not talking about it. Rento, are you talking
man.
About it?
When I'm right, you'll be wrong. You'll be, you know... Why would they even introduce a girl? Why?
Plastic Man can't reach as much as what you just
for
did.
For emotional...
Right
effect
exactly
right.
I think
but
that's
why?
The scene where he gets his moment because it's a callback to him.
You're trying to show the people and exactly. what they're going
and,
to do.
And,
not
and
just
it's not a coincidence that she's like a dead ringer
same
for Shireen.
The guy before the farmer that came in is like I've never fought out, you know, it's like give him the food, you can get your arms, your weapons
showing,
over there.
This is not, I know it's short, but showing the good guy, oh he's so good, and remember when he was a little girl, it's a callback to that and how good he was to that little girl, the daughter Stannis' daughter, whatever,
Shireen.
Who looks like, who's kind of looked like her. What a coincidence! And
that's what I'm saying.
So that was just so nice. Whack. He's done. It's a wrap. And you're gonna think about it. Oh, he's such a nice guy. That's a great setup. I think he's done. Who's with me there?
I love Sir Davos, man.
Who's with
I love him too. I don't want him to die.
I didn't say if you want him to say. Do you think he's going down? I say he is.
I'm gonna tell you who's gonna die.
I'm in.
He's dead. That scene was, I won't say it's a random scene, but it was a perfectly set up scene for the emotional impact of the next episode. It really is, and I get it. It was well done. But he's gone. I again, I'd be shocked if he's not. I'll be happy if he's not. I'm not rooting for him to die, believe me. But someone's gonna die here. It ain't gonna be one person. It's gonna be several folks. Let's be honest. It's gonna be a whole boatload of people dying. Let's be clear.
Yep.
So we're gonna have lots of deaths.
Lots of deaths, including that when this one another scene where they had a nice little callback scene where had Sam and John and I forget his name.
Who was in,
Dolores Jack, said.
Or said.
Yes, where they're talking about reminiscing, you know, and he's now dead. With the last three, dude, mm-hmm. It'll be the last two.
By Dolores said.
He's on the chopping
block. It may be the last one.
Actually, I think it's going to be. I think
he's dead.
Dolores Head is dead. I think Tormund is dead. And I think Beric Dondarrion is dead.
I am not sure about Tormund yet. I am not sure about
him. I think
we need Night at the Winterfell Improv. He's still around.
I think he dies eventually. I need him to die because he's in my pool. So I'm like, he went from the dead. I just don't know if it happens this episode. I don't know. I'm on the fence on that guy. I don't know. I'm 50-50 on him. I really am. Nothing the show did for us this week would indicate that he's going down.
Okay.
As opposed to the other ones we've been talking about, right? Nothing obvious like, okay, he's, you know, the setting up that emotional punch when it happens. So we'll see. But you may be right, Mike. Don't get me wrong. If he dies, I'm not going to be shocked.
But yeah, Beric, yes, I'm in. Gone.
Beric.
They made a joke. Don't you remember they made a joke on the wall?
He mentioned Beric already.
No. Beric is dead. There was one scene with where Ira.
The Hound. Yeah.
The Hound.
Right, where he even says to the Hound, he's like, Thoros ain't around to bring you back anymore.
I'm going
to
preach. I'm going to kill you now.
The Hound is good. We know the Hound's not dying. Beric, good night. It's a wrap. Thank you for playing our game. Take your bloody parting gifts. Moose stays left. He's dead. There's no question he's dead. And that's one of the mighty complaints with the episode is where I thought that's the kind of scene we should have gotten with her and the Hound in the first episode.
Yes, man.
You know what I'm saying? It was like a waste. They could have saved it for this episode, not including the last episode, and gave more meat on the other parts of the last episode. So a little miscue there. And along with those lines, same thing with her and Gendry. Gendry, you guys said it right. Another meeting with him where it was better served this episode than it was last episode. Well, minor stuff.
Hello, meeting, man.
But man, was that creepy? Was that mean, dude? I mean,
by the way, the CGI in that creepy. Was not very good.
It was weird.
Take a look at the CGI.
It's like watching your little sister. You know, she grew up and now she's. It's just weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. Whatever. I mean, it was kind of weird. Yeah. Because, you know, if it's so little and it's like, you know, it's like everyone's little sister. She's a badass and now she's having sex.
Maybe they could have, you know, maybe just have them hang out or just, you know, whatever.
But they could have made out with them in the next shot. They're in bed together. And I don't even find
that. Something like that.
It was weird. It was just an awkward scene. Because it's funny because, like, it was a funny scene because they're taking all the clothes off. It took 10 years because they got 8,000 layers.
Right. Because it's so cold out.
I'm thinking Genji's ready to rock. By the time all those clothes come off, he's like, all right. I lost it. It's too much time has gone by. He could have maintained that the urge, if you will, to pull it mildly. You know, the sensation would decline seriously. He's got to take 8,000 coats off. She's taken 10 years. It was kind of an awkward scene. It was just a weird scene. But that being said, I can harm when you have sex. It's a wrap. Who dies?
Gendry.
It's a wrap. He's done. He is not. He's gonna die in front of her. I'm sure or something that effect. I'll be shocked that he dies. I don't think Arya died. Arya is not dying. I'll be shocked that she dies. To be honest,
she's gonna be involved in the last episode somehow.
Yeah, without question.
With Cersei, 100%.
But which is no doubt about it. She's not that. But Gendry's a wrap. Obviously, the scene with the planning. We talked about it with Bran. Where's it with Bran? Is it me? Because like I don't understand what the importance of his character is, like, especially to the Night King and why he's going after him. Did I miss something? What am I missing?
Did you hear the line that Sam had about why three-eyed ravens exist, that they know the future, the past?
Right, but what is that? Like, if, for example, if he's the last
Night King wants it to be a permanent knight.
Like, he's no threat to the Night King. Am I wrong?
He is a threat to the Night King.
How? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, what's his purpose? Like,
because
what's the
big
deal?
Because he can see things. And the Night King doesn't want anybody
to
see
anything. Yeah, but he doesn't say anything. He doesn't tell anybody anything, so what's the difference?
Yeah, he's been telling everybody everything. What are you talking about?
But only for convenience of the show. But that's it.
That's why he's there, dude. If you couldn't, you wouldn't have been able to tell Jon Snow that he was Aegon Targaryen.
So he's a plot device.
Right.
Right. Another but he has MacGuffin. No but plot device and then having importance to the Night King are two completely different things. Like, there's got to be a purpose. I don't understand yet. And I don't think it shows.
He's going to end up dead. I don't think he's dying. No, because next week.
When he marked him the very first time, when they found him or located him, right? He marked him to kill him.
Right, he knows where he is every time.
Yeah.
Right, but why is he such a threat? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's he going to? Because put it this way, if Bran knew how to defeat him, why the fudge is he not just saying it right now and get out of the way? If he's such a threat to the Night King,
he did. Well,
maybe he knows it. He hasn't.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. It's just not clear. I'm not saying that there's no purpose.
No. It's they've done a poor job with the show. I agree with that.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying the reasoning might make sense. I just don't know what the reasoning is.
The reasoning really doesn't make sense.
Right. It's like the whole darkness thing. That was like, whatever. I just double speak. I don't know what the hell that meant.
I think they're just trying to set it up that that Samwell Tarly is going to be the guy that writes A Song of Ice and Fire at the end of the show. That's my opinion.
Interesting.
That's fair. I can deal with that. I like that. I don't think Sam dies at any point in the show. It messes me. He's safe. He's the only one who's not on the chopping block. It's him for the most part. I'm 100% sure he's going to be alive. Bran, is he out?
Yeah. Not this week, or next week, but he'll be out.
Okay. Interesting. And then let's get to the end. The big scene here, which surprised me. I liked it. Where I thought, last week when we learned, you know, that Jon found out about who he is and Targaryen, et cetera, et cetera, I wasn't sure if he was going to hold that information or share it. Lo and behold, he shared the information. I kind of liked that direction. It was bold.
Yeah.
I thought he might just hold on to it till later and to the right, whatever the right time was, could be. It was a good scene, man, because Daenerys' reaction changed real quick. And I love that old, well, how convenient is your brother. Yeah. And your best friend saying this, okay, you know, and at no point I didn't hear John say, well, I don't want to be king, which he could have just said from the beginning. I'm just saying this because I just want you to know this. I don't want the throne, but I just want you to know the truth and whatever. That wasn't said. He just came out and said it, and he didn't like back off it. So I'm thinking now, is this the point where John maybe thinking the throne?
I don't think so.
To some degree, or more so, he doesn't want her to have it. Well, second thoughts anyway.
I don't know what his thoughts are on this. I really feel like he still loves her. So I don't know.
There's no easy answer. He doesn't know what to do.
Maybe. I don't know that he's going to survive the show either, by the way.
We'll know more. He's not dying next week, obviously.
No.
Clearly, that's not going to happen. I mean, I'll be shocked if that happens. I really would. It'll be interesting as hell, but I don't think so. But I think that's obviously a great setup for what's going to happen after the smoke clears from the Night Walk and the Night Walker and the Night King, and that battle goes through and it comes to fruition. Okay, what's next? Will probably be that drama between them two about her accepting if he's the king or not. And what's going to happen? Because inevitably, Sansa's going to find out at some point. And what's her reaction going to be? And what's she going to do about it? Because I would assume she doesn't like Daenerys anyway. So she might be pushing for Jon Snow, potentially causing that rift. Who knows?
I didn't.
Maybe. I have heard rumors that Daenerys kills Sam. I don't buy that. She's going to give her the evidence. I'm not buying that. Or she turns heel. I don't know. Mike, do you see that? You're a wrestling guy. Is this where she turns heel potentially?
A wrestling guy.
You know, is that what John's going to take?
No heel turns for
Danny. She comes in with a chair, hits him from behind. Kind of
gorgeous ladies of Winterfell.
It's a Pearl Harbor job.
Bring it on, baby. Bring it on. Sansa Daenerys action.
That's not going to happen.
Because I think that's where the focus will be after this, obviously, this episode. Will be that, besides them trying to, well, we'll see how this plays out, because I still don't know. So after this episode,
I got one. Hold on. I got one you didn't mention.
What I miss?
Captain Friendzone. Is he going to live or die?
Oh, dude, you're right. Oh, dude, next. It's a wrap.
Yeah. After he got the sword, I was like, that's
Friendzone
it.
Friendzone and Lyanna Mormont.
Lyanna, I don't think she's
going to live.
She's going to live. But damn,
that little speech, man. You're the last heir, Bear Island. Dude,
you may be right. You may be right, but I don't think she's. I've
seen those speeches before. I'm gonna fight anyway.
No, you're right. She's a rat too.
Just talk to Paul.
The Mormont's all gone, dude. And particularly Jorah. It's a wrap, dude. Oh, thanks for the sword, asshole. That means I'm dead. That's what he's thinking in his head.
He's gonna die.
He's not surviving that. It's a good scene. It's a good scene between when Sam gave it to. I like that scene. It was a nice touching scene. Oh, it's cool. He's not gonna wield it himself. And here you go, take it. You know, you deserve it. He passed up the other sword, which Jon Snow has, right? Am I wrong in that?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
So you know, it's kind of a circling back. And here's another sword for him. But he's going down. He is so dead. It's not even funny, dude. He might be the first one to go. He might be dead before the show even starts.
Gee whiz.
He might be in a beginning intro and then show him like laid out.
No, no. That's funny.
You know, that little chalk line. We got some friend zone. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, no, it's a friend zone. Just get it over with. We know what's happening. Either way.
Anyway.
So focusing on next week's episode. Obviously, we know a lot of people are dying. And it's going to be fantastic. We have an hour and 20 minutes long episode. 50 to 60 minute battle scene, presumably. Mm-hmm. It took 2 months to shot. It's going to be amazing, no doubt about it. This really is going to be amazing. Should be anyway. Does the Night King go down here? Is this the end of the Walkers?
There could be one of two things that happen. Either they're just beaten because the Night King pulls a no-show Jones during the battle.
He's going down south, maybe potentially.
Right. Or the main thrust of the story is it's going to be Cersei and King's Landing. After they defeat the Night Horde. Or they get whooped and they run to the Iron Islands and I don't know what happens after that.
Chewie?
No.
He doesn't die?
No.
Wow. Do you think he's there in battle or no?
No. I don't think he's there.
Ah, okay. Everyone's jumping on the romantic theory here. So I'm talking about that. Everybody's drinking the Kool-Aid. So I've been saying for 2 weeks.
I don't think he's there. And I don't think obviously if he's not there, he can't die.
What's dead may never die.
I kind of torn because this is the thing. There's only 3 episodes left after this, right? I mean, is there enough time to ramp up again the Night King thing and then Cersei? Is there time for that? I don't know.
Or maybe it's the Night King and Cersei at the same time. Who knows, man? I don't know.
I get because I think it's a cop out.
That's not bad actually because we know there's another battle still to come, right? We don't know if it's
Right, it's gonna be another battle at some point. Where there'll be it's assumed the Night King dies is a battle with Cersei one way or another, right?
Yeah,
how you want to slice. I think it's a cop out if he dies this episode. Like, if it's assumed he shows up, and he's there, I'm wrong, he shows up, and he fights, and you kill him, and everybody goes down, whatever. Is that a cop-out? Is that too easy?
Yes.
I mean, I guess we got to see how it plays out, because, I mean, the brother's got a dragon, dude. He's got his own dragon. Easy. So,
but it's 2 against 1, right? I mean, essentially, it's 2 dragons versus 1 dragon.
Well, but I mean, but it's 2 against 1, but, you know, kill one, now you got the numbers, because you'll bring him back. So,
he kills the dragon.
He's got the two. Now it goes the other way. Like, flip a coin there. I got you now.
Then it's toast.
So you can't just go willy-nilly with your dragons and, go gung-ho because, you know, easily it's 2-1. It could go 1-2 real quick.
Man, I didn't think about that, to be honest with you. I was thinking when the dragons
That's his power is because anything dead, it's his. Unless you burn it, it's yours.
Man, I'm really curious how they solve this issue. I honestly have no clue. And it's great, right? It's great. A lot of times we know where a show is going, you know, but in terms of this, dude, you're right. Because again, what I say, when they show the White Walkers at the end, right? Like, as we thought they would, they're going to show up and that's the show, the credits roll, right? Whatever. But there's no Night King. I didn't see him there.
No.
He wasn't there. He ain't flying around the air. They would have seen him for miles away. So,
He could have gotten there quick on a dragon.
Of course. He could have started the whole thing and got him off guard and, you know, whatever, and left. Who knows? Yeah, maybe he comes in late, like the last half of the battle. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to imagine. As much as I like to see him go south, it's also kind of hard not to imagine him not being there at some point. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's there, and like I said, he turns tail and leave and heads down south. I don't know. I'm so curious what happened. Whatever happens, it just can't be a cliffhangers episode. No cliffhanger.
No, I don't think it's going to. It's
like the battle needs to end. Like, I don't want to see his nonsense. Yeah, it starts. It's like 50 minutes of setup. Here's half the battle, and then it stops at some point before Jon Snow's about to get killed, and of course he doesn't. But whatever. But it stops. I don't want to see that nonsense. This has to be completed as far as the battle itself. It has to be completed. Yes, I mean, this nonsense. That would be really, really bad on their end. It really would. But let's see, man. This is going to be awesome. You know?
Epic.
We're going to be inviting
us. Could be the single greatest episode
of any TV show ever.
Of TV all time.
Viscerally, yes.
Yo, yeah. Well, hopefully more viscerally.
This might be the best. It's easier to say this might be the best battle scene we're ever going to see, theater or TV.
I think we said it now without watching it. I mean,
it's a safe assumption. I think it's going to be. It should be amazing. People have to die. If no one dies, I mean, I'm not watching. I'm not watching the rest of the season. We're not doing any more podcasts with this.
It's a wrap. American gods.
It's a wrap. I watched the end. Who won? Okay, great. And that gets no way.
That's not worst happening. Mentor ever.
People are gonna die. I mean, like, yeah, you know, I'm telling you. Besides, Captain Friendzone, when the credits roll, you know, someone's dropping. But super excited, man. We're gonna do obviously next week. We got. Man, that Avengers talk, we'll be in a high and then not a high again. Watched the episode twice that Sunday for sure. I got a feeling I'm watching it twice.
Lots of tissues.
Lots to digest. And I'm super excited about that. We're doing a supersized episode for what is probably the biggest month, biggest day or weekend in the history of entertainment, as far as I'm concerned. So there we are, guys. Excited for next week. Any final thoughts from the gentlemen?
Well, I just
can't
go ahead.
No, go ahead, Mike.
I was just going to say this is unrelated to anything we discussed, but Gold Dust has finally left the WWE and he'll be working with his brother at AEW Wrestling, which got a TV contract with TBS. So,
well, I wish him say,
well. He's great.
George is still alive here on the show with you know. He's...
Hey man, you just wanted me to say anything,
sponsorship. I can sleep well tonight with that little nugget of information.
Who cares about Jon Snow? We got Gold Dust. Guess is not going to die next week. Gold Dust.
Come on, man.
Awesome.
I love Gold Dust.
Amazing. Chewy.
Nah, man. Saturday and Sunday can't get here fast enough. That's right.
Mike, when are you watching Avengers?
Friday.
Oh, okay, nice. So yeah, we'll be ready to talk much of that.
Yeah,
I've seen it twice, but I'm going on Saturday as well. As far as Thursday for showing 6 o'clock, and then Saturday at some point in time. But yeah, there's hope both things live up to expectations. I am so jacked. This week is gonna take forever.
Yes,
I swear to God, it's like
it's only Monday.
I got just imagine waking up Sunday, it's 9 o'clock. You're like, dude, I got 12 hours. Oh my God, can we please hurry up? You're doing busy work, waiting for that Game of Thrones to start. Oh my God, I can't wait for that day. Maybe there's some basketball I can watch, Mike. I'm sure there is to keep me occupied.
Plenty of basketball, dude.
It won't be the same though. You just be thinking about Game of Thrones, just to be honest here.
Yes.
But that's all we got. You know, we're jumping next week in a supersized episode.
Yep.
Gentlemen, let's enjoy it. Let's take it in. Soak it in. See you guys next week.
God bless each and every one of us.